Blog Talk Radio.
If we had not have gotten that those payments and those debts and her car and credit cards and all that stuff knocked out, my salary would not have been enough at that time. She would have, there would have been no option. She would have had to try to go find another job.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Midday Money Show, your weekly shot of uncommon financial good sense. I'm Tony Husbands, a financial coach with the Debt-Free Divas, and I love talking about all things as they relate to your money. Today, my guest is Ephraim Jackson. He's a Chicago native, but currently resides in Iowa, and he has 12 years of experience working in the financial services industry. He's done everything from being a banker to a financial advisor for high net worth clients. He's been an operational trainer for large independent broker-dealer firms, and he's also worked with portfolio managers to manage multi-million dollar investment proposals for large institutional clients. So let's just say Ephraim knows what he's talking about. But today, what I really wanted to dig into was his experience in paying off debt and becoming debt-free. He and his wife were able to, over the course of a few years, pay back $40,000 worth of consumer debt. And they did so right at a crucial time in their lives, which he speaks to us today. And we spent a lot of time, which I really love, number one, kind of talking about the why. Why do we need to push for debt freedom? Ephraim took his institutional knowledge and also the spiritual training that he received as a result of being introduced to Crown Financial and applied those to his own personal life, was able to get out of debt and then actually have that happen at a very critical time in their life, which could have really been a lot more traumatic had they not been able to accomplish that goal. And I'm leaving this as a cliffhanger on purpose so you'll get it in the story. But he took that. He took that knowledge and that experience and that drive for wanting to be debt free, and he used that to found his ministry, Free to Serve Ministries. And so not only is he a financial services professional by day, but he also uses his skills, talents, and his heart for ministry to help other people get out of debt. So all of the resources mentioned on today's episode, why I dumped $40,000 and am now free to serve, will be available on my website. Just head over to debtfreedivas.org.
I don't know that we've ever met in person.
No, we haven't.
I think we're virtual buds.
We did meet one time, but it was so brief. I think at...
Was it at the church? Because I remember...
At Lifeline.
Okay.
Because the first time I spoke at Lifeline, I think you were there.
It's been a few years now, yeah. So, yes, I remember that. I definitely remember the presentation. I definitely remember the four I's of why we have debt. Definitely laid or made, I should say, an impression on me. So I'm surprised it's taken me this long to reach out to you to have you on. So yeah, I'm thankful for that because I do love to talk to people who have accomplished a goal of paying off debt, and you have. So why don't we talk about that first and just give us a little background about your experience of paying off $40,000 of debt.
Okay. You know, our kind of debt journey kind of started around, I'd say, like 2004, 2005. And for me, you know how you have those aha moments,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, get my Oprah thing on, you get that aha moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my aha came, I don't know if you're familiar with a ministry called Crown Financial Ministries.
I am. Uh-huh.
And I got introduced to Crown Financial Ministries.
Howard Dayton, right?
Yeah, Howard Dayton. You're right.
Uh-huh.
And that was the first time I ever heard, someone put money in a spiritual realm.
Okay.
And actually, so before that, my whole concept with money was I thought I was doing okay, because everybody had debt.
I know, right? Right. We're normal.
Right. I was normal. So I was like, what are you talking about? I got to do something with my debt. What do you mean my debt is potentially harming me? What are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
So when I finally got connected with those principles and started teaching it and doing those things, I was like, okay, I'm learning this stuff. Let me actually apply it.
All right.
It just actually works.
So how old were you at this time?
Oh, man. Now you're going to make me do math.
Ah.
This was 2000, like I said, about 2004, 2005.
Uh-huh.
So I was roughly probably 27, 26,
okay.
27.
Okay, like so that. Out of school, couple of years.
Yep, out of school. But I was at the time, I was getting ready to go back and do my master's.
Okay.
And so I was just kind of really into the workforce. really.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of years, you know, me and my wife got married in 2007, so we were planning on doing some things there. So it was kind of perfect timing. But so we were like, okay, we were trying to figure out how to blend our finances anyway.
Mm-hmm. So that $40,000 was just you by yourself?
Oh, no, it was a combination of both of ours.
Oh, okay.
It was credit cards, it was car payment, it was personal debt to her family that she had taken out. It was a it was a big hodgepodge of everything.
Normal stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's how our trip kind of started. We got introduced to Crown, and so we said, you know what, let's actually try to apply this stuff. And so we did exactly what some of the programs talk about. You know, we got in and did the debt snowball that, you know, Dave Ramsey made kind of famous. He didn't necessarily invent it, but he made it famous.
Exactly, right.
but we kind of augmented it, though. We ended up changing it around a little bit to suit us.
What changes did you make?
Yeah, so for us, like, I'm a big believer, I'll even teach people this too, that sometimes you just doing things smallest to largest, which is kind of the normal debt snowball philosophy, hey, rank everything smallest to largest, and then attack it that way, sometimes doesn't work for everybody.
Okay, so that didn't work for you guys?
No, it didn't work for us, and here's the reason why. Because my wife, well, at the time, you know, girlfriend, but, you know, wife now, as we were working through this stuff, she had, like, maybe a couple of $1,000 she had borrowed from her parents to get into real estate, and so she borrowed some money from them so she can get into real estate. And so we had that lower on the list because it didn't have any interest.
Oh, right? Okay.
Because we were like, well, we'll pay that off later. You know, we were paying them maybe $100 a month or something.
Uh-huh.
And then she kept coming to me like saying, you know, my mom keeps making these little off comments about when we're going to pay her and when we got that money for her and blah, blah, blah. Even though we were paying faithfully every single month, right, $100, and we had even told him, hey, we're going to pay you $100 until we get this paid off.
Uh-huh.
But it was those little comments and stuff. And so she kept coming to me saying, look, we need to do something different. I was like, okay, we're going to augment this. We're going to move them up on the priority list, even though they were no interest and represented a larger balance than some of the other stuff we were doing.
Uh-huh. Okay. That makes sense.
That makes sense. You got to attack the emotional stuff first.
Right. And if it was causing potentially some stress or strain in the relationship, then, and you had the ability to do that, you know, then, yeah, I definitely want to protect your relationships. That makes sense. And because borrowing from family is tricky, just anyway.
Oh, yeah. You know,
So quick question then, would you do it again then? Would you borrow from family?
Borrow from family? No, I would not. I wouldn't borrow from family again. I even adopted a different philosophy as far as, because I had loaned family members money over the years as well. And I eventually got to the point where I had to call everybody up and just forgive the loans because people start treating you different when you become a lender.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Yeah.
You become, you turn into that master slave relationship.
Oh, my goodness. It's definitely a straight Kunta moment. It's like, and so literally, like, for siblings, I called them up because I noticed they weren't answering calls. They seemed weird around me, friends, high school. And so I just called them up. I said, hey, you know, this is one small amount. This is like, you know, one person, $3,500, another person, $5,000, another person this. And I was like, you know that money? I said, you know what, just forget it. Don't worry about paying it back. And it was almost like somebody had, whoosh. It's like a veil had been lifted. Like that immediately set them free and the relationships changed. Really. So my new philosophy, I'd be completely honest with you, if I have it to give, I'll just give it to you.
Amen.
No borrowing.
Right. And that's, you know what, we do the same. We're the same way because it does. It changes the dynamic of the relationship. And even if the person is trying, you know, who knows what happens? Things happen, people can't, or especially if they're not trying and you're looking like, don't you owe me some money? You know, it really does. It just, you start counting their money for them, don't you?
That's so funny you say that. Now, this is a true story, right? So we had loaned some money to one of my wife's aunts, and she was still going to the casino. This is back in the day when my wife went to the casino. We don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all remember she was in the casino one particular night and she saw her aunt there.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, didn't I just give you? What are you doing here? And so you got to be real careful because you never know what habits you might be supporting and all this other kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm done with that.
This episode is sponsored by Personal Capital, a free online tool that helps you keep track of your personal finances, folks. Track your spending, manage your investments, and keep up with everything through their secure mobile app. You can support the Midday Money Show and take advantage of this fabulous free tool by creating a free account with Personal Capital. Head over to debtfreedivas.org/personal and we'll show you the way.
So actually, you mentioned something that as you were talking about your story of paying off debt, you and your wife were dating at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Did I catch that?
Yeah.
So you got, were you dating at the point where you were serious about the relationship, knowing that you were moving towards marriage, or were you just kind of dating, like seriously dating? At what point did you guys start really working on the money situation together?
Yeah, we got married in 2007. You know, we got engaged in like 2006. So we started seriously working on it in 2006, kind of planning it out, but we didn't really start. She was kind of doing her plan on her own money,
mm-hmm.
and I was doing mine on mine. And then when we got married, then, you know, we kind of combined the plans to start attacking it together. Because
mm-hmm.
I was like, hey, you start working on yours, I'll start working on mine. Here's the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got together, it was like, okay, now this is all of ours.
Okay.
let's start working on this as a whole. So.
Was it difficult to, especially since, you know, you had your plan, she had her plan. Was it difficult to kind of merge the two? Was that a challenging process or was that pretty seamless? Because it actually sounds kind of cool that you guys were talking about it or at least working through it so specifically during the engagement process.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's some pre-marriage classes that I teach some financial principles on, and that's one of the principles I always share. Like before you get married, you have to sit down and figure out what your financial plan is, who has what, what's your credit score, what's this, what's that.
Because
you don't want to get into marriage and then have a bunch of surprises later on.
Right.
It's like, what is this? But for us, it happened pretty seamlessly. It went pretty smoothly because we had been through the Crown courses and because we went through those together. And so
you got married? I'm sorry.
Before we got married.
Okay.
No, before we got married. So we kind of were on the same page, both spiritually with money and, you know, thinking, you know, fast forwarding, like what we wanted to do with the funds. And I thought it, now this is the part I thought was going to be difficult, but it wasn't. I thought because she had actually a little more debt than I had. And I thought, you know, oh man, I was going to feel a little weird, you know, paying you know, money towards stuff that she had accumulated,
uh-huh.
you know, like the debt to her parents and stuff like this.
Uh-huh.
But because we had kind of prepared ourselves spiritually for that, it didn't happen.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of shocking. We just kind of went in and went seamlessly. There was no, oh, this is your debt. Oh man, if you didn't have this, I could be in Maui right now.
know? Okay. So how long did it take you all then to eliminate that $40,000?
I'd say it took us roughly about 3 years.
Okay.
It took us about 3 years. And I'd say we probably didn't go full steam like we probably could have.
Because
mm-hmm. we still enjoyed ourselves. You know, we still went on, you know, honeymoons and then one-year anniversary trips and stuff like that.
Okay.
But I'd say it took us about a good 3 years to just finally retire that 40.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. Now, since paying off and merging the debt and being responsible for the whole, you know, like mentally being responsible for the whole pot and not necessarily yours versus mine worked out in your relationship, and that wasn't a challenge, what was the most challenging part of this process of paying off debt?
I'll be honest with you. I think for us, it went pretty smoothly because we had gotten prepared for it beforehand. I think the most challenging part for us is once we started planning for kids and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 2009 is when my first kid was born. My son was born.
Okay.
He's seven now.
Okay.
And so when we start changing the dynamics a little bit now, it's like, okay, we want to keep paying all this stuff off, but now we got to also plan for these extra expenses with the kid.
So he was born during the time where you were actually working to get out of debt.
No, well, I'd say we paid off a good chunk before he was born because actually, you know, an interesting thing actually happened in 2009. My wife used to work in the financial industry with me.
Mm-hmm.
When that whole debacle thing kind of happened
mm-hmm.
with the financial crisis where we were working, laid off a ton of people.
Oh.
You know, literally, I think they laid off close to 1,000 people across
uh-huh.
the entire organization.
Uh-huh.
And she was one of them, and she was
oh.
pregnant at
oh.
the time with our son.
Wow.
And I remember when we were sitting down talking about, okay, what we're going to do. It was a totally different conversation, though, because it wasn't a conversation of fear or worry. It was more of a conversation like, hey, do you want to go back to work? No, I'm okay. And I'm like, well, all right, we've already paid off this much, so I think we're good. Because we had already kind of learned how to live off of just my income.
Okay.
So all of her income was mostly used for kind of extras and debt and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. So when she stopped working, did you guys still continue with the same kind of intensity paying off debt? Because she stopped working before you were finished.
We were about almost done anyway.
We were almost done.
So it didn't impact it too much.
Oh, okay.
And we actually compartmentalized a lot of our debts too. Mm-hmm. Right? So we still have a mortgage and a rental property debt like now.
Right, but your consumer debt, your student loans, the credit cards, all that stuff is.
Oh yeah, all that stuff is done. We had to compartmentalize it because when we first started attacking this stuff, we were like, okay, if we look at all of this, this is going to take a minute.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. So we had to say, okay, let's take the car, let's take the credit cards, let's take the personal debt,
uh-huh.
let's take all this stuff, lump it together, let's uh-huh. take your loan, blah, blah, blah. Okay, let's just focus on this pile. This is our starter pile.
Okay.
So we got that starter pile knocked out, and we were like, okay, whew, breathing room.
Right. Let's celebrate. Woo-hoo!
Well, so yeah, now we're kind of in phase two. We're kind of working on the second pile now, the more hardcore stuff.
Okay, okay, that's cool. Like take it in bite-sized chunks.
Oh yeah, I think you have to and I think that's what scares a lot of people though. If you think about it, like if you tell a person, hey, lay out all your debt, and when you include mortgages, I mean, some people even student loans. Because I know some people went to med school, they got six figures student loans.
Yes.
And you tell somebody, hey, lay this all out and go debt snowball it. Mm-hmm. Even when you do the math on it, that looks really daunting.
Right.
But if you can chunk it up, even if it's small chunks, even if you say, hey, I'm just going to tackle this one credit card right now, that's better than nothing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Kind of trick yourself into knowing that you can do
right.
that. Yeah.
You got to trick yourself. So something that really helped us was, which I thought was really cool, is we did the math and got our get out of debt date.
Oh,
and so we were like, okay,
that.
Here's when we're going to go with our actual, you know, we did the math. We actually used something called powerpay.org. It's a free website.
Okay.
And then you can go in and use their calculators and put in all your debts and the interest rate and put in how much money you're going to pay for it. It basically does the calculations for you.
Mm-hmm. Powerpay.org.
Powerpay.org.
Oh, thank you.
Free site.
Okay.
And you go there, and it will give you the date and say, okay, if you do plan A, this is going to be your date. You do plan B. And so we did that, and we printed bad boy off and stuck it on the refrigerator. And so it gave us light at the end of the tunnel because we were like, okay, we're not going to be doing this forever.
Right? I don't even know if you know, but you are just speaking my language right now.
Hey.
And those that listen to the podcast know this is what I'm talking about. Yes, you put it up there. You create a visual. Woo!
Visual, man. It's a visual.
Yes.
And I like, so every time I go to the refrigerator, I can see it.
Yes! You have been sneaking and peeking in on us now.
Right.
No, it's just like, you know, I love that. Yes, that, you know, keep the visual, create things in chunks. This is good stuff. This is very good stuff. Thank you so much for sharing. Okay, so I wanted to make sure, was there anything else about your process that you wanted to share before we go into the next section?
I think the other biggest thing that separated is we definitely added the spiritual element to it. Like, we always gave completely throughout that entire process. We could have got out of debt sooner mathematically if we, you know, in theory, you know, to do the math, I would say, oh, all this money I gave to the church, we could have used that to pay off stuff sooner. But I believe it's because of the giving.
Mm-hmm.
That helped us stay on track and help keep the mindset and kept the blessings and other things with jobs and things and promotions that I was able to get. I think that's a part of that. And so I'd say that's a huge part, is that we incorporated that spiritual element into getting out of debt so that there was a reason why. You know, it wasn't just, oh, I'm going to get out of debt so I can have some more money so I can go buy some more stuff.
Right, right. Well, that's a great segue, I think, into what I wanted to talk about, because out of this experience, your background is in financial services, right?
Yeah, I've been in financial services for a little over 12 years now.
Right, so that is your background, and I did catch you say that was your wife's as well, so that's your background. You're trained in this, but one of the things that this process of walking, or you and your wife dumping debt together did, was kind of open up opportunities for you to turn that back around and teach others. And you did so by birthing a ministry, Free to Serve, right? Free to Serve.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Free to Serve Financial Ministries, it kind of got birthed out of during that journey and getting out of debt and actually seeing it work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were like, oh, man, this actually works.
Mm-hmm.
and going to the Crown classes. So, you know, I started teaching Crown classes and being kind of one of their ambassadors. And then that progressed to teaching, you know, facilitating Dave Ramsey classes. But I always found myself when I was facilitating their material, adding stuff to it. You know, like real world stuff to adding some more flavor to it. And so and it was actually right around that same time in 2008 or so, when I think, you know, God kind of laid it on my heart to do my own financial ministry. But it didn't actually materialize until some years later. Until like 2010 is when the ministry actually launched. Started actually teaching our own material and going to church and kind of teaching live and doing things like that. So, yeah, it was an amazing process to be able to see it work. And then now being able to go out and teach it and say, hey, I'm living proof that this worked. And you can do it too.
That's awesome. That is really awesome. And so one of the things that you said you like to focus on is just not the how, I guess, of getting out of debt, but the why. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Because, well, if you think about, you know, the society that we live in right now, everything is focused on, you know, get as much as you can, make as much as you can. And there's tons of information, if we're being completely honest. I mean, there's tons of information about finances online. I mean, we live in a Google age. You can literally learn whatever you want to learn.
And now I can just talk to Google. I don't even have to get on my laptop,
Go, was it Alexis?
Google.
Whoever that lady is. But nobody ever talks about really why are you doing this? Like, what is the point? Like, what, you know, why am I accumulating all this funds? Is it just so I can retire and play golf all day long? So I can just have a nice house and have the nicest casket in the graveyard, right, in the cemetery? But that's why I think the why is so important. So for me, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a man of God. And so for me, I believe if you are a believer, that the reason why you should be focused on getting out of debt, the reason why you should be focused on accumulating wealth, is so one, you can live out the purpose that God has put on the inside of you, and so that you can advance kingdom principles and kingdom purpose and help it advance Christian principles. But if you're just doing this and there is no reason around it, I always would challenge anybody, like, why? What's the point? What is truly the point? This may get a little more serious than we need to get, but I always tell people, if I honestly didn't think there was a God, my whole life would just be about consumption and
excess. Right here and right now.
Because it would be the only thing worth living. So, I'd rack up as much debt as I could and live whatever kind of life I wanted to, because there was no point. But
say holla after it's all over with, right?
But, so yeah, I think the why is really important. I think there's so many people that are kind of slaving away in jobs that they don't like to pay for stuff that they didn't need. You know, it's just it's kind of a ridiculous cycle. And when you think about it, we teach our kids to do the same thing. So we tell them, hey, go to school, get a good job, get in the debt, get married, have some kids, buy a bunch of crap, get old and die.
When we look at it like that, what is the point of this? No, we can do better. We are here for more. I think you're here for more than to, like you say, just toil at a job that you barely like so you can, you know, prop up yourself with stuff that you don't need. So here's one thing I want to kind of go back to, and I just thought about that. You and your wife were working for, we'll say, almost 3 years, close to 3 years, to pay off the consumer debt that you had. And right towards the end of that, she lost her job. And so I wanted to kind of come back to that, because that's such an interesting, some could say coincidence. Some might say coincidence. You know, others might say providential, in terms of taking the time to put your finances in order so that when, not if, when life happens, when life throws you a curveball, because I assume that you guys weren't expecting her to be in that massive layoff, right?
Not at all.
But, you know, it's like, these are the reasons why, you know, you go back to talking about that. Why are we put ourselves in a better financial position? Because we don't know, you know, what the future holds for us. But when we're not mired in debt, we can kind of butt up against those unexpected situations a lot better, you know? And I think that is so, I actually remember you mentioning that in your presentation, which is
yeah.
You guys were working hard and you were almost there. And then all of a sudden it's like she lost her job. And then, you know what? Okay, we still got this because you guys were putting the pieces in place to be able to weather some of these storms. Mm-hmm. You know, that's exactly what you did. And that's powerful. That's a powerful testimony. And I really thank you for bringing that up again.
No, thank you for saying that. And yeah, I'll be completely honest. I tell everybody this. If we had not have gotten that those payments and those debts and her car and credit cards and all that stuff knocked out, my salary would not have been enough at that time. She would have, there would have been no option. She would have had to try to go find another job.
Wow.
Now, here's the
pregnant.
Other part of that story. Here's the other part of that. At that time, her mother, and I'm sure she won't mind me saying this because I say it everywhere I go anyway, I'm sure she had was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, wow.
And so my mother-in-law mm-hmm. used to take care of my wife's grandmother.
Okay.
And her, which, you know, would be my mother-in-law's mother.
Right.
And so she'd go over the house and take care of her and sit with her. But now she's having cancer issues and things like that. And she actually ended up passing away in 2010.
Oh, wow. Your mother-in-law,
a year after my son was born.
Okay.
And so my wife then stepped in because everybody in the family was like, okay, who's going to take care of grandma now?
Oh.
And so my wife stepped in and started helping her grandmother and started going over there with my son, you know, who's a, you know, 1 year old or so,
uh-huh.
However old he was at that time,
mm-hmm.
Going over there and being able to take care of her and make sure she was bathed and do all these things while all the other family members are going to work. And she would not have been able to do that if she had to go look for a job to pay off those debts that we had already paid off a few years prior.
Wow.
So,
wow.
I always tell people this whole debt thing isn't just about you. You don't know who's going to need you later on.
Right.
And so because we had prepared ourselves beforehand, we not only saved ourselves, but we were also able to be a blessing to other families as well.
Right. Wow. That's powerful. That is, I mean, and that just
that preaches,
right? That, you know, it does. It makes you tingle. Like this is why we are, you know, why you are working through the ministry that you have.
Mm-hmm.
This is why, you know, I am continuing to share this podcast and share people's stories of debt freedom because I want that message to continually be on your mind, on the minds of my friends and audience and Team Debt Free. I want that to be continually top of mind.